This is episode 44 of Paranormal Stories. This week, the books I'm reading from are The UFO Rabbit Hole, Book 1, by Kelly Chase, and Answers from the Ancestral Realms, Get Psychic Help from Your Spirit Guides Every Day, by Sharon Klinger. As you may know, I produce two podcasts, Past Lives Podcast and the Alien UFO Podcast, and it's here that I bring them together. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such fascinating information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the books. I've put links to the books in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record these extracts from the books, and the authors kindly said yes. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to start by reading from Sharon Klinger's book. This is called Answers from the Ancestral Realms, Get Psychic Help from Your Spirit Guides Every Day. And I'm going to start by reading from a section in Chapter 3, and this is called Sensing and Sending, How Spirit Communicates with You. And this is what Sharon has written. The more you use your inner senses, the more they will grow sharper. They are the intuitive senses that let you receive what spirit sends. Many people think the intuitive senses are felt in the same way as the physical senses, but it's not the same at all. For instance, close your eyes and take a moment to see an image of an apple in your mind. There it is. The apple is there for you because you're imagining it that is there for you. Now, with your eyes closed again, listen in your mind to the song Happy Birthday to You. Really take a minute to hear it all the way through. In just these few little moments, you've experienced two inner senses seeing and hearing. How did they feel to you? Which one was easiest? Seeing and hearing are two of the most common and intuitive senses. But many people feel they're not real because they're not physical. Well, your spirit ancestors aren't physical, but they certainly are real. And they can give you real guidance through your intuitive senses. The next section is called Your Inner Senses. And this is what Sharon has written. Even though the experiences of inner sensing is different than physical sensing, they do coincide in some ways. Visual people tend to be seeing, clairvoyant. Audio people tend to be hearing, clairaudient. And feeling, physically and emotionally sensitive people, tend to be sensing or clairsentient. There are also inner tasting, clairgustation, and inner smelling, clairolfaction. Another way to perceive your spirit ancestors is inner knowing, or claircognizance. It doesn't relate to any physical senses, but everyone has experienced it at some time or other. It's much like the gut feelings you've had throughout your lifetime, an immediate awareness or a sudden knowing that seems to come from nowhere. But it does come from somewhere, spirit. It's either your spirit ancestors or your higher self, and they can send you lots of things. So here's a list. What spirit sends. Number 1, images, symbols, pictures and visuals. Number 2, words, including names and ideas. Number 3, body language, sensations and references. 4, music and sounds. And 5, aromas and flavours. Your ancestors really do have a lot they'd like to share. First, they want to identify themselves so you know who they are. Second, they want to identify living people so they can get a message to them. And third, they want to share their insights and guidance to help you in life's decisions. I often refer to this third part as the message. Though when your grandma shows up and just says, "I'm here and I love you," that's still a pretty important message. And the next section is called Hearing Without Sound. Oddly enough, a very common experience for people just starting out is that they see their ancestors, but their ancestors don't say anything. Many people describe their experiences, "He's just standing there looking at me. She's just staring. Why doesn't she say something?" This might seem very strange, but it happens all the time. After a while, you'll learn that spirit talks to you telepathically. They talk with their thoughts, not with their mouths. You've probably seen examples of this in old ghost movies, where you can hear what the spirits are saying, but their lips don't move. In sci-fi movies, it happens with the aliens. Happily, you're not experiencing ventriloquism. It's spirit telepathy. Now, the next section is called A Trip to Highclere, and this is what she's written. Of course, many, many people who aren't even trying to reach out to spirit have seen their ancestors looking back at them without saying a thing. This kind of speaking without talking is so common that such stories and descriptions can be found across the world and through the centuries. One particular interesting event took place in 1894 at Highclere Castle, a home that most of the world knows as the fictional Downton Abbey. Lord Carnarvon, the real-life version of Lord Grantham, had a visitor at Highclere, his good friend Victor Duleep Singh, who was the son of the Maharaja Duleep Singh. That Saturday night, Prince Victor had gone to bed in his comfy room, but he was wide awake. He started looking around him at the paintings there. Then, when he looked at a picture directly opposite his bed, he suddenly saw his father's face looking back at him. It wasn't two-dimensional like a picture, but it had depth, as if he were seeing his father's head. Victor continued looking, and still he saw his father staring serenely back at him, saying nothing. Without alarm or concern, he got out of bed for a closer look. And there was the picture with his father's face before it. Instead of being alarmed, Victor was relieved and assured his father was happy. It was a peaceful and warm experience for him. He went to bed with a calm sense of his father's presence. The next morning, Victor related the story to Lord Carnarvon and told him that his father had been in ill health for a long time. Also, his father had often told Victor that if they were not together when he died, he would try to come to Victor. Not surprisingly, the night after Victor had his vision, a telegram came to Highclere telling him that his father had died the day before. Even though the Maharaja hadn't said anything when he appeared to his son at Highclere, his message spoke volumes in love and the peace that Victor felt. It may be, perhaps, the most important message any spirit can bring. I am here with you, and I love you. Of course, spirit ancestors want to bring you all sorts of insights and messages that can help you, from the mundane to the life-changing. But the most important thing they want to tell you is that they are here with you and for you. Now let's see and practice sensing what spirit sends. There are so many wonderful ways for your ancestors to share their guidance with you. So here's number one: images, symbols, pictures, and visuals. Most magazines around the world are filled with pictures. That's because most people think visually rather than in words and data streams. There is an old saying, one picture is worth a thousand words. This is even truer with spirit's messages. One image, scene, or piece of art with its many components can capture an entire situation, place, mood, or action. Images can also identify a person or a whole group of people. For instance, you could get an image of your grandfather's pocket watch, or get an emblem from the club or society he joined. Sometimes you might see the land of your ancient ancestors, or recall a painting on your aunt's kitchen wall. Again, images can be visual or conceptual, as ideas or memories. And in terms of guidance from your ancestors, visual symbols can be very helpful and informative. A traffic light is a great example. If you have a yes, no question about something in your life, state it simply with no either or choices. Then your ancestors can send you an image of a traffic light. If you get green, the answer could be yes, and red would be a no. If you get yellow, or if it changes colour, your ancestors could be telling you that there is more information to come, and you might want to decide later. In the next chapter, and throughout this book, you'll learn about many such symbols, and how to interpret them, as well as other yes-no symbols too. So let's take a look at a picture and images, and what spirit can show you. This next section is called I See Spirit. This is what Sharon has written here. Close your eyes and take a deep breath, relaxing breath. Send forth an invitation to your ancestors and say, I see spirit. Immediately you do. You see a face, or you get an image or memory. Or you may see a piece of their jewelry or recall a photo. You could just see colours or a shape. Let yourself experience whatever you perceive completely. Trust every subtle nuance. After a few minutes, think of a simple yes-no question, so the spirit can show you a traffic light. Think of that question and say to yourself, Spirit shows me. Immediately, you see or sense a traffic light before you. What colour is it? If you get more than one colour, notice that too. If the colours change, that's all right. And if the question changes, that's all right too. Just experience what spirit shows you for a few moments. When you're done, say thank you to these loving ancestors, and bring yourself completely back. Okay, so now I'm going to move on to the next book in this episode, and that book is called The UFO Rabbit Hole, Book 1, and it's by Kelly Chase. So I'm going to start at the beginning at Chapter 1, which is called The Pentagon Says the UFOs Are Real, and this is what Kelly has written. Have you ever seen a UFO? I have, once. It was on a summer vacation when I was a teenager. My family was staying in a beach house near Hatteras on North Carolina's Outer Banks. I was sitting out on the deck one night looking out at the vast black expanse of the ocean and the impossible field of stars above. Growing up under the dull orange glow of suburban night sky, I so rarely got to see stars like that, and so I spent most nights out on a deck on a weathered Adirondack chair with my feet kicked up on the railing and my head tipped back, just marvelling at the sheer number of stars. On a clear enough night, you could see that the stars weren't just uniform white pinpricks of light, but rather, they sparkled like gems in every colour of the rainbow. It was on one of those nights that I saw it. At first, I thought it was a plane, but the clear, bright light high above me in the sky was moving too fast. My brain reshuffled, trying to make sense of what I was seeing. I knew there was an Air Force base nearby. That made sense. But then the light took a hard 90-degree left turn without slowing down, followed immediately by another equally impossible turn to the right, before accelerating off past the horizon, streaking like a comet. Electrified by what I had seen, I ran inside and told my family, but they laughed at me and then accused me of smoking weed. I didn't talk about it again. I didn't see anything else on that trip, or ever again in the years since. I would sometimes think about that clear, bright light with a detached, shapeless curiosity. But what do you do with an experience that you can't attach to anything solid, that falls outside the boundaries of everything you know to be true? I think most people who find themselves in that situation do exactly what I did. I mostly forgot. While the Kelly of my youth held a worldview expansive enough to permit for a bit of mystery, as I got older, something changed. Or rather, I did. A series of life-changing events, including the sudden and devastating loss of my father when I was 20, caused me to forcibly amputate any notion of the spiritual, paranormal, or otherworldly. Life, as I saw it, was a harsh, rigid, unrelenting landscape painted only in shades of black and white. Everything could be known. It had to be. Because if it could be known, it could be planned for, mitigated, dealt with, or even choked on. But at least I'd seen it coming, and I wouldn't make the mistake of hoping it could be different. There wasn't any room for ambiguity in the paradigm that I adopted. I thought about what I'd seen in the sky that night less and less, and then barely at all, until eventually years would go by without that troublesome, incongruent little thought bubbling to the surface. But then in April of last year, something crazy happened. It might even be the craziest thing that's ever happened, which is saying a lot considering it coincided with the outbreak of a generational pandemic. On April 27th, 2020, the Pentagon released a statement to the press confirming that three leaked videos of UFOs that had been included in a 27 expose in the New York Times weren't just real, but they admitted that they had no idea what these craft were and had no explanation for their seemingly impossible manoeuvring. We'll get into the whole backstory behind the leaked videos, the New York Times article, and this stunning admission from the Pentagon in future chapters. The utterly bizarre and unlikely series of events that ties these things together is at the very heart of this story. But first let's talk about these videos, because, dude. So these videos that were leaked in 2017, and then confirmed to be authentic by the Pentagon in 2020, are absolutely mind-blowing. And not because of the quality of the video or what they show. In this respect, they're about as grainy and difficult to decipher as any other sketchy UFO video that you can find on YouTube. What makes these three videos remarkable is that they were filmed by US Navy fighter pilots with the USS Nimitz off the West Coast and with the USS Theodore Roosevelt off the East Coast. Both of these ships are giant aircraft carriers which are part of huge battlecruiser fleets. This means that there were tons of ships and planes on the scene with the very best instruments available. These videos don't just have multiple eyewitnesses who have been willing to step forward to verify their authenticity, but they have verification of the same object being tracked by multiple sensors both in the air and on the sea. And they each have comprehensive chain of custody documentation, which means they can't have been altered. Basically, you don't have to believe that these videos are real, but if these videos aren't enough to convince you, I doubt anything short of a personal encounter would. And for the record, if that's how you feel, that's totally valid and I respect it. If anything, when it comes to this particular topic, it is best to proceed cautiously and be skeptical of the evidence. I only bring this up to say these videos are the closest thing to a smoking gun that we're going to get short of flying saucers landing on the White House lawn. It would be hard to dream up more bulletproof evidence. So what do these videos show? The first video is referred to as gimbal. A gimbal is a pivoted support that permits rotation of an object about its axis, which makes a lot of sense once you see how the thing moves. The gimbal video was captured by US Navy FA-18 Super Hornet aircrafts utilizing a Raytheon Advanced Targeting Forward-Looking Infrared Pod. You don't have to know what any of that means, you just need to know that we're talking about some of the most advanced sensors and powerful tracking systems on the market. In this video, Navy pilots can be heard marveling at a top-shaped object that they first think might have been a drone when suddenly it rotates a full 90 degrees while staying in place, something that should be aerodynamically impossible, leaving them baffled as to what they are seeing. Although only one of these objects can be seen in the video, eerily, one of the voices can be heard saying, "There's a whole fleet of them." The second video, from an incident reported by pilots aboard the USS Nimitz, is called FLIR, for the Advanced AtFLIR system that was used to record it. There is no audio to this video, but in it, you can see a large, smooth oblong, tic-tac-shaped object hovering in the sky, unmoving. It just hangs there for a couple of minutes, and then suddenly shoots off to the left at a velocity that can only be called unprecedented. We don't have anything that could go that fast, and if we did, the laws of physics would mean that anyone on board would be dead from the G-forces. The third video is called Go Fast. I'll give you three guesses why. This video was filmed by US Navy pilots from the USS Theodore Roosevelt in 2015, and it shows a round or oblong craft flying in the air over the open ocean at an impossible speed. The pilots are laughing and shouting, clearly stunned at what they are seeing. One of the voices you can hear is that of Commander David Fravor, who told ABC News in an interview about the event. "After 18 years of flying, I've seen pretty much about everything that I can see in that realm, and this was nothing close." In the time since, these incidents have been investigated more deeply, with multiple eyewitnesses coming forward to share what they saw, and the details that they have been filling in are even more incredible than what was shown in the videos. For example, during the 2004 Nimitz incident, it's reported that sensors aboard the USS Princeton, another aircraft carrier in the area that also encountered the tic-tac-shaped craft, captured this craft dropping from 80,000 feet in the air down to the surface of the ocean in 0.78 seconds. That's hundreds of thousands of kilometers per hour. For comparison, our fastest planes can go about Mach 3.2, which is 4,000 kph. Okay, so this week the books are The UFO Rabbit Hole, Book 1 by Kelly Chase, and Answers from the Ancestral Realms, Get Psychic Help from Your Spirit Guides Every Day by Sharon Klinger. If you want to buy the books, there is info and links in the show notes. And now a great way to support this podcast is sign up on Patreon. On the Past Lives Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. There is also a $12.50 Patreon tier, where every week you can get the extended episodes of the Past Lives podcast and the Alien UFO podcast extended episodes. Just go to patreon.com/pastlivespodcast or click on the button on my homepage, pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. Just so you know, if you're a patron, you get a 25% discount when you book a past life regression session with me, and I'm offering a free consultation call which can be booked on my website. And there is a Past Lives Podcast Facebook group, and if you'd like to join, you'd be very welcome. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.